Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 6, Number 1. This is our 57th edition of SNU, and what a great series of interviews and clinical data we have collected so far. And speaking of collection, I want everyone to know that our new members-only link on CoreyHawley.com now provides direct access to every edition of SNU that we've produced, plus an entire new series of educational videos dedicated to sports nutrition, health, and fitness. Each month, you'll see a new edition of SNU added to the site, as well as a new video presentation. The video categories include seminars, training, nutrition, philosophy, cooking, supplements, and personal interviews. Members will be able to download everything presented online as a stream for immediate listening and viewing, or for personal MP3 audio application. As a CHI member, you can use everything online at your discretion. And once you're inside, you can download the information, the videos, the audios. You can burn it to a disc and share the information with a friend, or you can use the videos to even help educate your clients. Trace and I invite you to educate yourself and utilize all of the learning resources offered in the new members-only section. Our intention is to provide you with a continuous source of high-quality audio and video information on topics related to sports nutrition, health, and fitness. This is what we love to do, and I can tell you that there is something wonderful about creating something for your own pleasure instead of simply competing in the rat race, especially for other people. Life is too short to live in a state of compromise or to put up with any disrespect or BS, especially if you are the one holding yourself back from moving into a healthier, more productive, less toxic situation. If you enjoy your work and it's exactly what you want to do, then you are truly one of the few individuals who can honestly say that. Incredible numbers of men and women detest what they do for a living, or work with or around people by necessity they simply don't respect. This leads to resentment, bitterness, hostility, and decay of the mind and body, especially if money and so-called security is the reason why they tolerate it. Instead of living like a slave or thinking of what you do for a living as a job, believe it or not, it is possible to look forward to each day to create something really meaningful with your time, something you really believe in and are passionate about, while generating revenue with integrity and benevolence, and actually think of what you do as an extension of your life. For many, their work and personal life are two different things, but it's possible to make them one, and it's like having a good time. Whether you're at home watching TV or at work, you're having fun because it's what you want to do and it's what you enjoy. Personal pride in what you do to create income for life and living is essential for our personal growth, self-esteem, and self-worth. If you have a thorn in your side and it hurts, you've got to pull the thorn out by the roots. Unfortunately, some of us can get used to living with the thorn and find ways to manage the pain. Enter addiction syndromes and neglect of the body. Remember, the longer you keep the thorn in your side, the more difficult it becomes to pull it out, the higher the risk of infection, and the longer it will take to heal. On this first edition of Volume 6, I'd like to get back to the basics and talk about whole food and quality nutrition. Food is a big problem for so many people, and although you may think the situation is getting better because of marketing and TV commercials, in reality, it's getting worse. Eating disorders and disordered eating is definitely on the rise. One look at the masses should convince you of that. Exercise, however necessary and magnificent, doesn't nourish the body directly. It encourages replenishment and greatly improves digestion, absorption, and elimination. But moving the body doesn't supply the essential micronutrients that catalyze the release of energy from ATP. Exercise in and of itself doesn't provide the body with the building blocks of structure and repair or sustain it with the elements needed to withstand the stress of training. I know this sounds obvious, but you should see how some of the greatest athletes eat. Tacos, pizza, hamburgers, giant plates of refined pasta noodles. It's like they've never heard of nutrition as a science. Wholesome organic food, meaning food that is free of unnecessary chemicals, preservatives, contaminants, and other harmful substances, is vital to your health and well-being. Eat a diet rich in a variety of whole, unrefined foods, and the quality of your bones, muscle tissue, and entire body will continue to repay the favor for the rest of your life. In a study of 42,000 women conducted by Harvard Medical School, those who scored in the top 25% in food selection based on nutrition value were 30% less likely to have died during the 5.6-year study than those in the bottom 25%. Don't kid yourself. Nutrition quality matters. By whole, I mean the skin with the potato or brown rice instead of white. White rice is polished and peeled, a process that removes a significant amount of fiber and most of the micronutrients, including vitamin E, B-complex, the essential fatty acids, and magnesium. Most of the food on your plate should be as close to its natural edible state as possible. Things like fresh greens, raw vegetables, organic fruit, homemade soups, halibut, farm fresh eggs, crude, fibrous whole grains, venison, raw nuts and seeds, lentils, things like that. Right off the tree, out of the garden or the sea, as is best. Always. Now, organic refers to a system of farming that maintains and replenishes the fertility of the soil without the use of chemical pesticides or fertilizer. Was there ever a time when food was grown without chemicals? Of course there was, although we have been led to believe otherwise. For thousands of years, our ancestors subsisted on nothing except organic fresh food. And do you know why? Because that's all there was. It's also acceptable to consume certain foods derived from whole foods, provided the constituents of the original whole foods are still intact. However, that doesn't mean the end result is equivalent. Grinding kernels of wheat or rye into whole wheat or whole rye meal flour, for example, reduces the vital energy that was originally locked into the intact whole kernel seed. Energy literally flies out as the grain is milled, but the energy and vitality that is lost is like the wind. It's invisible to the naked eye. Converting any natural whole food to a different form, a lesser form, whether by chopping, grinding, mixing, or by some mechanical means, always reduces the value of the food to some extent. It increases the rate of oxidation, and oxidation is a process where electrons are stolen as opposed to reduction where they're contributed. So the redux balance in the body is related to food that is either whole, intact, or not. Milled grain has a major disadvantage of increased surface area and no means of protecting the delicate germ from exposure to oxygen and light. This makes the once stable solid kernel, now in the form of ground flour, highly susceptible to spoilage and less, not more, nourishing. The same concept also applies to ground meat. Ask yourself this about most of the food you currently eat. Is it a product of modern technology or a product of nature? Is it a food artifact designed purely for aesthetic and taste appeal? Or is it real food formed through adaptation and natural selection? Is it lifeless and sterile and incapable of spoiling? Or does it spoil easily? You know, we're supposed to eat food that can spoil. Did the food exist in nature 500 years ago? Or is it something our ancestors wouldn't even recognize? Does the ingredient panel on the package list words impossible for a 10-year-old to read or understand? If so, that is definitely a red flag. I really want to emphasize the importance of whole food nutrition because it's totally taken for granted. It's what separates convention from non-convention, the orthodox from the alternative. Learning about whole food elevated my life and steered my entire family, many friends, and thousands of fellow converts on the road to better health. Do you know that the entire health food movement was founded on the basis and foundation of whole food? The isolated high-tech vitamin supplements we now sell came much later, and even they at first were pretty coarse compared to what we have today. When's the last time you added rice polishings, brewer's yeast, bone meal powder, desiccated liver, bee pollen, or ground rose hips to your protein shake? That's what I used to supplement my diet with back in the mid-70s. The effect of food on our health and performance is greatly underestimated by modern medicine and most hospitals. In fact, I can't believe how many people either take food completely for granted or pay no attention to food quality whatsoever. And I'm not talking about small kids who don't know any better. I'm talking about mature, intelligent, educated adults like doctors, lawyers, teachers, coaches, and accountants. People with degrees, people that have gone to university, people that think they're educated, but when it comes to watching what they eat, they have less knowledge or less skill than a 2-year-old. It's incredible. It doesn't seem to matter whether it's a French fry coated with ketchup, a bowl of salad, a can of beans, or a chocolate bar. To some people, food is no different than what it would be to a seagull. Have you ever watched a seagull swoop down on the road and swallow garbage whole right down its gullet? Well, that's how some people eat. There doesn't seem to be any conscious connection between the food they eat and their state of health or body composition. And that's what I find so amazing, because the connection between the two seems so damn obvious to me. We North Americans are spending billions of dollars on fast food. Drive-through facilities are getting more popular by the minute and make up about 20% of food services. And of that percentage, French fries are the number one food item purchased. After that comes coffee and then burgers. In 1960, the average person ate 4 pounds of French fries annually. Today, it's 40 pounds. Canada now has close to 30,000 fast food restaurants compared to 8,000 20 years ago. That's an increase of nearly 400%. People are eating more crap, not less. They're getting fatter. There's more sickness. Don't believe what you hear. The truth is that we are not getting better when it comes to health and nutrition. It's enormously important to consume fresh, non-refined, non-processed foods from nature as often as possible. This pertains to both plants and animals. It's not either or, like it's not whether you eat plants or animals, but rather the quality and freshness of what you choose to eat as food that makes the difference. The objective is to use food as a means of supplying the biological demands of the body, and that is simply not possible with commercial fast food or canned foods or foods made of white flour and sugar. In fact, it's also not possible with organic whole food, but we can get much, much closer to the ideal and then fill in the gaps with high-quality supplements and natural health products. Unfortunately, the gaps are too wide if the diet is way off track, and no amount of supplements, although helpful, can correct such dietary incompetence. What is the sole function of food? Do you know? Why do animals and all living things require sustenance? What is the ultimate reason why we need to eat? If your food base does not sustain your biochemical need for every essential nutrient in optimum amounts, then your food base is incomplete. It's as simple as that. Thinking you're getting enough is an extremely subjective, narrow, and unreliable approach to nutrition. Unless you're an expert in the field and choose food based on pure logic and objective reasoning without preference to taste. And it doesn't matter if you're a vegan, a vegetarian, a breatharian, an omnivore, a carnivore, or whatever. These terms are just labels, and labels are reserved for products of men, not nature. Ever see a nutrition facts label on a grapefruit or a fresh garden tomato? No, because we don't need persuasion or evidence that it's edible or even nutritious. By the way, when people ask me if I'm a vegetarian, I say, no, I'm a human. Malnourishment, which is the end result of consuming processed and refined food, is a form of nutritional poverty. Have you ever seen real poverty? Believe me, it's no fun. Over time, consuming an empty food base weakens the framework of the body, reducing its ability to respond to and tolerate stress. The influence of nutrition on the genetic constitution of any living organism is probably one of the most important key determinants in Darwin's theory of natural selection and evolution. This underlying factor, however, which describes the importance of nutrition to the survival of any given species, is seldom given any respect or consideration by mainstream. Nutrients provide substrates and influence enzyme chemistry, activity, and this means an animal's food base is totally relative to its potential for function and survival. Evidence has shown that the presence or absence of certain nutrients affects the transcription of genetic activity and the modulation of hormones as mechanized through the driving forces of our genetic pattern. Our food influences our phenotype, which is the visible manifestation of who we are. These properties are produced by the interaction of our genotype and our environment. Don't take the goodness of whole food for granted. The most important real estate in the world is you. And as you age, it will either increase or decrease in value based on how you manage your biological terrain with food. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from American philosopher and writer Albert Hubbard. There is no failure except in no longer trying. There is no defeat except from within. No insurmountable barrier except our own inherent weakness of purpose.